So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians and chapter 4. Ephesians and chapter 4, you'll find this on page 1175. In the church Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4, just reading the first six verses, that first paragraph there on page 1175. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. So over these last few weeks, we've been reflecting on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 lists what we know as the fruit of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes his letter to the church in Galatia, a church that is positive and growing and buzzing with life in so many ways, but also is struggling in terms of the relationships within that church. And the challenge from the Apostle Paul is to live by the Spirit. That's the phrase he uses. Live by the Spirit. I urge you, live by the Spirit. And then he compares. This is the life that results if you don't live by the Spirit. And then this is the life that results if you live by the Spirit. You have these fruits that emerge from your life in your character. These fruits emerge. So let's say these couple of verses together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And a reminder on those fruit of the Spirit, I don't know who this originates with, but I've heard it, that the first three are single syllables, love, joy, peace. The second three are two syllables, patience, kindness, goodness, and the third three are three. So it's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Fancy of the Apostle Paul thinking of that all those years ago to help us remember. So if you can't quite remember what they are, it's 1, 2, 3. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as every week I put this slide up, and I should continue to do that, this understanding, this awareness that bearing fruit is an entirely natural process. Bearing fruit is not something you can work, in a sense, for. It happens as long as we are in the right context. Just as a fruit tree. As long as the fruit tree is in the right context, it will almost inevitably bear fruit. And I've said this, if I take an apple tree at home and I dig it up and I plonk it on the patio, I'm not a gardener or horticulturalist or anything like that, but my guess is that it won't bear fruit for long. It needs to be in the right context. It needs to be fed and watered and those kind of things. But bearing fruit is an entirely natural process. And the Apostle Paul uses this illustration. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's intending the believers in the church in Galatia, and then for us as we receive it today, he's intending for us to understand this is a natural process. If we're in the right context, these fruit will emerge. And so each week I've reminded us, it's about living in Jesus. It's about rooting ourselves in Jesus. That's why we encourage one another. Take the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Read the Gospels. Identify the character of Jesus that we see there. Identify the teaching of Jesus, the instruction of Jesus, the way of life of Jesus. Immerse ourselves in Jesus and seek simply to imitate that life day after day after day. And it is a life's task that we set ourselves upon. But that's what it is to live in Jesus, to be immersed, almost baptized in Jesus. And then we need to grow up in God. And that calls for maturity. Because it's not simply living in Jesus. Because as we do that, as we immerse ourselves in the life and the teaching of Jesus, we realize that some of who we are doesn't match up to the way that Jesus was. And so we have to change. We have to repent. That is, we have to rethink the way that we live. We have to change our attitudes and our approaches to things. And there are all sorts of things. I don't know about you, but it never ends, does it? You know, there's always something new that we're learning about ourselves. And we have to grow up. We have to become more mature. And we have to work all this out. And it is a struggle. It is a difficult task. It doesn't. Maybe it does come easy. I don't know. But it doesn't to me. I do struggle working out. There is so much in Jesus that either I don't understand or I do understand, but I don't like. Because it challenges who I am. But there's a better life, and that is the life in Jesus. But this, I believe, is the context. If we root ourselves in Jesus, are aware that we need to grow up, we need to change in the process, and we need to work it out. We need to use our minds and discussion, and we need to work it out. That is the context, and bearing fruit will therefore be a natural, an entirely natural process. And today, we're going to reflect for a few moments on the theme of patience. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. But a confession here is I feel so inadequate to speak about patience. I don't need to go any further, do I? But I do. I just feel very inadequate to speak about patience. But I'll share what little I have. Spoken before about love. The trajectory of love is towards peace. That's where love is aiming. That's where love is working towards. God is love. The Bible tells us that God is love. We read the psalm earlier, Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and kind and good and merciful. God is love. And the trajectory of God is towards peace. Peace with God for us. Peace with all humankind. All creation at peace. All creation reconciled together in God. Love is aiming towards peace. But what lies in the middle? Well remembered. You hear that? In between love and peace is justice. It seems a simple, straightforward thing that love is aiming towards peace. And that's a lovely thing. But we recognize there is so much wrong, either in our own lives or within society or community or the world. There are things that need to be sorted out, and we can't simply say, well, I love you, let's have peace. There are things that need to be worked out, things that need to be put right, either in ourselves or in our communities or in our families or in our churches. And that's, you know, don't stress too much over the, in the sense of this word justice. It's about putting stuff right, correcting stuff where we're going wrong. It's about apologizing and changing where we are. And so in between love and peace, there is this process of working out, putting things right. And then we can have peace. And as I've said on a number of occasions, the reason, you know, there's this saying, history repeats itself. It has to, no one listens. Have you heard that? History repeats itself, it has to, no one listens. Why? Because we think we can go straight from love to peace. Or we think we can fight a war and gain peace. Why does that never succeed? Any guesses? What's missing? Justice. Because the reason there's problems in the first place, let's just hammer it down, you know. Let's have war. If we don't work it out, what is causing this in the first place? And sometimes we have to take a step back, sometimes two or three or four, and really root out what is it that's causing the problem. And then we go to peace. But today I particularly want to reflect on interpersonal relationships. We could apply a lot of this much wider, but I want to talk about interpersonal relationships. What does it mean for us to live in peace with one another? And particularly, what does it mean for us to live with patience with one another? What if it takes a long time? When you look around, even here, you've got images in your mind, memories of people in the past where you thought, well, I want to love you as a brother and a sister in Christ. I want to love you. I want to have peace with you. And I'll be patient. I'll wait. What if it takes a long time? What if they don't change their behavior? What if they're just as annoying after a year as they were at the beginning? Or after 2 years? Or 10 years? Or 20 years? That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. What if nothing changes? Love, joy, peace. That's why he talks about patience. The need for us to have patience with one another. We are all different people. And we all come from different backgrounds, and our experiences in life are different, and our responses to those experiences is different. Our interpretations of events are different. And we have so many different things that plug in to who we are and our reactions and responses to other people. Isn't it so true that for some of us, what we find is something in another person whom everybody else loves, but for us, it's a trigger. Have you ever found that? You know, there's something in that person that just triggers it for us. And, you know, the chances are it's reminding us of something way, way back and pushing a button for us. And we don't understand that. How do we live in peace with that person? How do we develop patience? And my simple word of wisdom is this. Patience is waiting with empathy. Is that okay? Yeah. Just leave it there. Patience is waiting with empathy. Okay, what do I mean? It's about standing in another person's place. It's about walking in another's shoes. It's about understanding. Is that okay?
Yeah.
How can I be patient If the fruit of the Spirit, if my living in Jesus, growing up in God and working out my life is about love, joy, peace, patience. How can I grow in patience with those who trigger negative responses in me? With those who annoy me day after day, week after week, year after year? And this is a difficult and testing thing that I've put up. It's about empathy. How do we empathize? We stand or seek to stand in another's place. We seek to stand in the place of the person who annoys us. We seek to walk in their shoes. And what we're seeking to do is to gain understanding of who they are. To recognize that they are not us. They don't think like us and they don't react like us. In the passage that I read from Ephesians, I urge you, the author says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. If we are to empathize with others, if we are to stand in their place and if we're to walk in their shoes, then we need to begin ourselves with humility. Be completely humble. We need to be humble. And we need to be gentle. We need to be gentle with ourselves and we need to be gentle with the other. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. And then this phrase, bearing with one another in love. And I like that phrase, bearing with one another. Recognizing we are different. Recognizing our habits go up against one another. But we bear with one another. And we say to one another and we say to ourselves, we are not finished yet. God has not finished with me and is not finished with you. So in the meantime, I don't want this relationship to break down. I will do everything I can to live in peace with you. I will try and be patient. I will try and stand in your place. I will try and walk in your shoes. I want to understand who you are and what motivates you. Because I hear these words, I urge you to live up to the calling you've received, to be followers of Jesus. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then it says, make every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to empathize, to stand in another's place, to walk in their shoes, to understand somebody else. Make every effort to do so. Make every effort to do so. And this means for us that we need to listen to the other person. Some people speak a lot using their vocal cords. Some people speak a lot without saying a thing, don't they? I don't know what has been more influential upon me. The words I've heard, or the verbal words, or the non-verbal. But the need to listen to the other. The need to respect the other. The need to understand the difference between us. All of these, they appear simple things. But the reason why the words are used, I urge you and make every effort, is because it takes work. It takes work. This is part of what it is to live in Jesus and to grow up. There are limits to patience. Can I say that? There are limits to patience. If somebody's behavior towards you is wrong, there comes a point where we need the courage, with kindness and with gentleness, with compassion, to go and speak to that person. Say, what you're doing is not helping. Or words to that effect, don't we? So we can be as patient as we like, waiting, with empathy and understanding and respect and so on for that person. But there sometimes comes a point at which we say, sorry mate, you've got to change your behaviour. And what that leads us to understand is that we need not only to listen to the other person, we need to listen to ourselves. And we need to live with respect for ourselves. Self-awareness is such a powerful tool in terms of unity. If you are aware of yourself, aware of what makes you tick, aware of why you are as you are, aware of what's influenced you, aware of your impact upon other people, aware that when you say certain things in a particular way, there will be a response, aware of your own attitudes, not necessarily saying any of those things are wrong, but just being aware of those things, self-awareness, helps us sometimes just to calm them back and dial those things down, because we want to work and make every effort for unity. Patience is about waiting with empathy. Empathy involves a lot of hard work. Let's pray together. And in prayer, I'm going to read again the passage I read a few moments ago. And let's receive this for ourselves. Let's receive it as God's word for us. We hear it in our ears. We pray that it might take root in our hearts. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.